Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods. I am Hercules Invictus, and today we're going to focus on Ashtar Command with Gerald T. Farley. Greetings and welcome, Gerald. How are you?
Thank you, Hercules. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here, and I'm really looking forward to your experiences. The Ashtar Command is something that I've dealt with mostly indirectly in my own journey. So it is very interesting that they've, through people that work with them, have been entering my sphere more and more of late. So I'm eager to find out as much as I can. How long have you been working with the Ashtar Command?
Well, I've been listening to them for decades. But now it seems as though more and more we're getting information from all over the world through others as well about the Ashtar Command. But they welcome us. They're happy to be working with us. And Ashtar himself is lately more than willing to come out and talk to us, to brother.
And the Ashtar Command has a very long history. I believe it started with George Van Tassel, the communications with the Ashtar Command, and then Twella became a leading light.
Right. George Van Tassel, I don't know if you're aware of it, but he was a wingman along with Ted Williams for one of the individuals who was a millionaire at the time, who created the largest airplane at the time. It's just an interesting side note, but George Van Tassel was definitely a starseed and was definitely contacted by the Ashtar Command and others as well. And there were those who came to see him in his place. I've been out there to the Integratron and
awesome.
Am familiar with it. It's a healing center out in California in the desert.
Has the Integratron ever been completed? I've heard various accounts of people that went there.
Oh, yes.
Don't say it was never completed.
There are a couple of sisters who own it right now, or at least within the last 5 years since I was there. But they utilize it as a healing center and a sound center. It's a beautiful place. Anyone can go on the internet and just type in INTEGRATRON, Integratron, and it will come up, and you can actually see what it looks like.
Wow.
It's a dome. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. Out there in the middle of the desert with just normal homes around it.
So the homes have encroached on the desert, it seems. From pictures that I've seen and from accounts that I've read from years ago, it used to be very isolated. But I guess just like the Sphinx these days in the pyramids, the suburbs have kind of extended to the Integratron.
Very true.
Now, are they still holding UFO conventions and events at the Van Tassel's?
You know, I was following that for a little bit several years ago, and I've been out of touch in regards to that because I'm more interested in what's happening right here on the ground for all of us in each and every one of our states, especially in taking charge of our own lives. And that's a deep subject that we could talk for days about. But it kind of goes back to both Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson said, you know, you're going to have to be knowledgeable, each and every citizen, in order to hang on to this republic and keep it going. And we, you know, we just got sidetracked. And we're coming back now. It looks very positive at this point, but it's taking individuals in each state to kind of take charge of that and speak with the necessary government appointed people to make sure that they haven't got it backwards, that they're working for us. We're not working for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are very interesting and historic times we're living through currently, and it is our personal responsibility to make sure that we try to remain faithful to our collective ideals and to the identity of the experiment that is America.
That's true. That's very true. Well said, Hercules. And Ashtar actually comes in with a short message and greets us on behalf of the Galactic Command, tagging on to what you're saying. On behalf of civilizations around our universe, because all the other civilizations who are well beyond ours, they're older than ours, and really have a lot to share with us, are ready and willing, but we've still got some scientists saying, we're alone, and they haven't found any evidence of others. And Ashtar wants us to know that they will not find evidence for two reasons. The first is that they don't wish to be found and seen while we are still fighting with each other, while we're still not caring for the homeless, not feeding the hungry. The other reason is that we're looking in the physical dimension, and right, we're not in the physical dimension. He goes on to say, but soon more and more of you will start to connect with us, but that's up to us. It's a choice for each one of us, Hercules, and it has to do with our willingness and the choice to bring our own thoughts to a place of unity consciousness rather than the third dimensional fear-based consciousness we've all been conditioned with. So
right.
What he ends up with on this one greeting is that we need to raise our vibration, and not just temporarily. And so individually, a little work is needed to free ourselves of the old conditioning. And that works for me. We could spend 18 radio programs talking about that one and how to raise our vibration. But it's also very simple. And each of us can do that ourselves simply by changing our thoughts about what we're choosing to see.
That's very true. And part of my particular task on Earth is demonstrating how the Space Brothers, as they're often called, have been with us since the dawn of time. And the message has been very consistent since the dawn of time as well. So even though to many or most people, the contactee movement arose in the 40s and the 50s and then kind of petered out in the 60s, in truth, it's still going strong and it always has. And it's one of the few branches of spiritual science where documentation is still readily available from many different points of history.
This is true. Absolutely. And in one of his missives, one of his messages to us, he talks about the destiny of planet Earth is to rise into a planet of light and ascend with the other planets in our solar system. Who are already in the ascended state and just waiting for Earth to join with them so that our whole solar system can rise into a higher dimension. This will soon take place as people by the millions are now waking up. So things are happening as we speak. And that's why these messages are becoming more and more frequent. We're waking up to the injustices being imposed upon all of humanity that we've been allowing, mostly because we haven't taken the time to find out what's really going on. But now and more of us, because of the circumstances that were created by those who were more interested in darkness, if you will, greed, corruption, were fomenting on the planet, and really created a doorway, a portal for us to begin to say, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for, especially the ones who are starseeds, and I would not say that's something that most people really are. We don't realize it to one extent or another. And there's a whole lot of information that Ashtar puts out on the current role of starseeds. That's quite interesting.
That is something I'd like to explore. I've started several times in my life, and now I've restarted the Olympian Starseeds Initiative. And,
right.
That's basically beautiful. There's an Olympian influence in every human being, so it's not just focused on incarnate Olympians, but part of its function is for incarnate Olympians that basically get stuck in this Maya, this illusion, and it's very compelling and it's very easy to get stuck.
Tagging onto that, Hercules, is we don't realize that we're getting stuck. It, whatever we're involved in third dimensional or egoic pleasure, if you will, it feels good for the most part. The problem is that we are, in effect, getting stuck, and we don't realize it until it's too late. So, boy, that feels good that you're coming out with that. We're on the same page with this. But if you'll bear with me, Ashtar comes in with one about the starseeds. He starts out, "Good day to you humans. I come with news and joy. It has come to my attention that you all are in a great ordeal and format of confusion and fear, just like you were saying. you will soon come to understand what it is like to be of a galactic nature. And that's what I was saying earlier. Many of us don't even realize where we came from. Many of us will find out soon, the ones who are willing to listen. To carry the galactic blueprint as it will start to activate in a short notice. So he goes on to say, allow me to inform you that your stellar sisters and brothers of light have been downloading different forms and formats of information for each individual on this earth. All templates of a galactic nature are receiving, or are rather being bombarded in some cases, with multiple codes and information from different galactic planes, as this differs for each individual. No being is forgotten, nor are they ignored. All of you are receiving the codes, which serves the highest good of humanity and the self. And he goes on to say, dear starseeds, if you are tuning into this message for humanity, welcome and listen carefully for further instructions. The Arcturian starseeds are receiving intelligence from their home star on how to implement the next generation society of high intelligence and high technology. Each individual from this galactic nature is downloading this information so that within the next stage of this ascension process, the uploading can begin. The Andromeda starseeds are receiving and uploading codes to format the old matrix so that Earth's new magnetic field can be activated. You function as rebooters. You are rebooting the Earth's field. Your courage, patience, and diligence are needed, as well as your healing skills. The Pleiadian starseeds are somewhat enduring challenges, as these souls are very sensitive to the ongoing chaos and drama. They are most connected to humanity with their empathy and social skills. These starseeds are being assisted with the changeover on the level of the human beings. This means that they are working on a planetary level and are being downloaded with the codes from Solaris. Every solar flare is a new download for Pleiadian souls, and they can be very rough to integrate these days, especially as the flares contain stronger and higher frequencies. The Pleiadians are offering humanity the ability to open their heart-mind consciousness, which is very important in this now. These are seeding, awakening, and are preparing to rebuild a new empire, a new world of community. These are doing their work in the playing field of humanity, the closest to humanity. Okay, to go on?
Sure, go on, and then I have some comments and questions. But yes, it's fascinating.
The Syrians are the leaders of this moment. These star seeds are taking over control, so to speak, and are stepping forward. These souls will feel the urge and the calling to do something about it, and are therefore stepping up to make the necessary changes that will come about. We only ask.
Wow.
To do it patiently and with integrity.
This is a communication that came through you?
No. Okay. I receive these that have come through others.
Okay.
And then sometimes edit them, going through my heart, mind, consciousness.
Okay.
But I don't change much of the context at all. Anyhow, we only ask to do it patiently and with integrity. These star seeds are being bombarded with new information, ideas, and codes from the Galactic Center so that innovative ideas can be birthed on the Earth. Sirians take on a leading role in this stage and are great healers. The Venusian star seeds are downloading codes from their home planet, Venus, and are assisting with the process of love and compassion. These souls are integrating the higher love vibration to help understand humanity in their own divine nature. These are active in the field of nature and are feeling the urge to resist anger, negativity, darkness, and hatred. More and more compassion will flow from their hearts to others. Allow this to be given to those whom are lost due to fear. And fear is the big one, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
The star seeds from Vega and Orion are the builders and architects of the planetary structure. As we are transforming Earth to a crystalline structure, these star seeds are responsible and are assisting this major process. Therefore, clarity, focus, and strength are a must. These star seeds are daily receiving downloads and updates to integrate the crystalline vibration and are transforming this through their own vehicles. It is as if their vehicles are processing a regeneration themselves and are then passing on to this frequency on this, they're passing on this frequency to the rest of humanity. All the other star-seeded souls on this earth are processing each in their own individual process of higher awakening, as no one is ignored. And I really want to stress that everyone is participating in this, or we wouldn't be here at this time. Each star seed is thus receiving their personal encodements and is awakening that which is ready to be activated. We are all helping and playing a role since we are transitioning into the Aquarian age. So that says a lot.
Yes, it does.
And you were talking about a question-answer period?
You've done an excellent job of taking all the different type of star tribes and putting together their messages into one greater message. And that is something I tried addressing on Facebook. But then my account was hacked, so months worth of work appeared. So I haven't gotten around to restarting that. But there's a lot of confusion about star seeds, and I was going to launch a show just to focus on the different star tribes. So I guess we're
and
starting.
And one of the things I wanted to add to that, just tagging on to what you're saying, is we don't have to be a star seed from one particular source.
Correct.
We can have many.
Correct. And it depends on where your resonance happens to be in a particular incarnation, and that'll be your gateway to exploring the whole star seeds phenomenon and the initiatives of the star seeds. Now, Pleiadians also, as a star tribe, have been interacting since the dawn of time, very much associated with Atlantis. In the Pleiadian revelations also, they've revealed how they abused certain of their of the conceptions that have grown around them, and they apologize for what they may have done in the past, and that they're working to make up for that in their current work with us. And a lot of people associate with the Pleiades, although they don't really understand a lot of what the Pleiades are doing. Now, what is your understanding of the Pleiadians?
I love the Pleiadians. I'm waiting to, well, there's a lot of information coming down now. I'll preface it by saying there's a lot of information on the planet about medbeds, for example, celestial chambers, which is all alien, if you will, technology that has been on the planet for anywhere from 50 to 100 years, depending on who you're listening to. But the technology has been available. And I'm concerned. The Ashtar Command, for example, the Pleiadians specifically, talk about inviting us on their ships to participate in that when we're ready. But there are also entities on Earth who are saying that much of this technology will be utilized by the military for and open to people on the planet. I have some hesitancy about the efficiency, the effectiveness of that, and exactly where it's all coming from. It's something that I'd really suggest that we take a good long look at. I guess what I'm saying, Hercules, is I prefer to walk up to some Pleiadians in a field and get on their ship rather than deal with something that's already here on Earth.
Okay, understood. I really do think that a greater understanding of starseeds needs to permeate our culture. Right now it's on the fringes. It's entered some of our entertainment forms, but there isn't a lot of understanding as to how the whole starseeds initiative ties in with humanity's evolution, and I'd like to remedy that. So this is a beginning.
Yeah.
Just like tomorrow,
you know, well, go ahead. What were you saying?
Just like tomorrow night, I'm having the Duncans on, and we're going to reintroduce celestial hierarchy.
I spoke with them. Yes, they're looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it too, and it's my hope by continuing to focus on these topics that we can help, you know, basically make people a bit more aware of these things and how they all fit together, and present them a new way, a fresh way of looking at them, because as you're trying to point out, a lot of the communications that are coming through now, it's very difficult to ascertain how much they represent the star seeds and how much they represent some of the like fringier political ideas that are on both sides of that coin. So I've noticed that as well, and that's also part of what I'm hoping to address through these shows, that some things are of the moment and some things are timeless, and we should focus on the timeless rather than get caught up in the dramas of the passion plays of the moment.
Right. Would you be interested in hearing about Ashtar's command ship?
Yes, of course.
The New Jerusalem.
Yes, please.
It's the largest of the quote unquote what they call it, the inns, like an inn, a wayside inn, of heaven, a floating etheric world housing the headquarters, the quarters of Lord Sananda, Lord Ashtar, and the Ashtar Command. The New Jerusalem is a pearly white space city. It is 2,000 miles in length and 2,000 miles in width. It is one of 10 motherships. It will be seen from coast to coast. It has 12 levels. The bottom level, the entry and exit portal for trafficking craft, includes disembarking platforms, parking docks, garages, maintenance departments, storage areas, and registration headquarters. The second level is a colossal stockroom, the quartermaster deck containing all manner of supplies. It is an immaculate city of warehouses. The third level is a vast zoo, including animal husbandry research and a birdland with creatures from many worlds. This is amazing. I love this. The fourth level is agricultural research. It is like a vast farmland of well-kept vegetable gardens and fruit orchards. Much of the growth is blue instead of green. That's interesting.
Yes, it is.
The fifth level is a housing center for all those technicians and persons who serve on the four levels below. The sixth level is a recreational level and lovely landscaped park areas for residents of all ages. The seventh level is a medical complex, patients' facilities, dental care, biological research, ships, lavatories, and quarters for all medical personnel. The eighth level is housing prepared for Earth evacuees. It contains staterooms for individuals and apartments for families. There are countless joint dining areas, social halls, nursery care sections, laundry facilities, and information offices. The ninth level is the university compound, the halls of wisdom, vast libraries, endless concert halls, and cultural interests. Halls of learning for all ages, music rooms, and computer classrooms. The 10th level, special apartments for visiting dignitaries from all dimensions, barracks for the extraterrestrials, staterooms, and apartments with multiple scattered conference rooms and beautiful sprawling dining and lounge areas. The 11th level, the Ashtar Command headquarters and Great Rotunda Meeting Hall. Earth evacuees are brought to this great hall for any necessary group gatherings. The Command Communication Center is located here. And the 12th and last level is the Officers Observation Deck and Pilot Control Center, which can be visited by appointment.
Wow, that is amazing. Have you ever, in your meditations or astral travels, traveled to the New Jerusalem?
In dreams.
In dreams, okay.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's nothing... In my own personal experience, it's been nothing like what a lot of people who say they were abducted and whatever they've gone through. It's for me, it's always been a very brother-sisterhood type of atmosphere.
My experiences have also been very positive and spiritually uplifting.
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
One of our fellow hosts, Mark Brinkerhoff and his wife, Phyllis, they have given us a lot of insight into the Ashtar Command, and they're frequently experiencing being on the command ship and other ships, and they also bring us messages and insights from the Ashtar Command.
I'm sure they have a lot more experience with it than I have, but I'm just astounded by what little I know, and it's been amazing.
You know, a great deal.
It's just a wonderful experience that just ordinary people can be involved in this.
Yes, it is. It greatly
expands. That's really what we are.
Adventure. Yes, it is what we are. We are all star seeds. We're all star children, and all is one. And all
right.
The different star tribes are just various ways of experiencing the one, as you pointed out before.
Yes.
Is there any particular
star tribe? So where do you want to go from here?
Is there any particular star tribe that you identify with? Like, for instance, mine is Olympian, and I see the Olympian current in all of the star tribes that you've spoken about. So many different streams flow into the Olympian Sea. Which ones do you identify with? Which ones do you feel the greatest resonance in this lifetime?
Gosh. Pleiadians, Arcturians, Andromedans. Definitely the bird people that Corey Good talks about. They're very high dimensional beings. That's pretty much it for the ones who I mostly feel connected to. But I have my greatest connection literally is with Creator Source and Christ Michael, Jesus Christ.
Mine is the Elohim, Hercules, and Amazonias. They're known in neo-theosophical literature. So speak about your greatest resonance with Creator and with Michael, and because we will be covering that in future programs as we've covered it on the past.
What I can speak to that about is I know from Jesus in many, many ways why I'm here. So I learned that early on. That was really helpful for me. And it has to do with, if I may go into it just for a minute,
of course.
Christ Michael Schools and the quantum healing centers that would include all of the Ayurvedic and indigenous and ancient Chinese methodologies and plant medicines, as well as things like the egg technology and definitely the medbed and quantum healing chambers technology that will be available to us. And then there's the offices of peace which would be kind of the command center in the community, within the community, where these schools and healing centers would be. And also it would be a place where people, especially children of any age, can come to with their ideas about peace and literally get them funded and have mentors assigned who can go with them and work with them to get those projects started, along with finally the nurseries, the community gardens, where all of our food is grown and it's all plant-based. There would be room for animal husbandry. There aren't a lot of people who are right now ready to become involved, who are still eating most meat. Most of them are vegan or vegetarian. But everyone's welcome. And the beauty of all of that is that I know that it's all cost-free for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And that is something you've been engaged with trying to anchor and express here on our planet at this time.
Exactly. And the beauty of it for me, Hercules, is that it has to be structured, and the foundation has to be perfect every step of the way. So I'm glad that I'm in touch with celestial guides, because they're the ones guiding this process. And the only reason it's not already extant on the planet, and I'm sure some facets of it are, that there are others who are doing this, and I can name a few who have, you know, I've talked to about it. But it will only come when its time is ready, when the collective
right.
consciousness are ready for it. So I'm not impatient about it, because I also know that we have all the time we'll need if we choose.
Very, very true. Things happen in their own time, and sometimes a setback is an opportunity to redirect. That's how I've been interpreting my action, all this other stuff. That maybe I needed to move in a different direction. It gives me a chance to reconsider everything. And again, I'm relentless like many people, so it just I never stop. But a lot of the loss of information has forced me to rethink a lot of things. So in that way, it was good.
That's beautiful. There is a teacher who I follow who helps with persistence.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Luge, L-U-G-H. I had never heard of him before 5 years ago. And so I've been keeping in touch with him, too, because you're right. I mean, we've had to pivot so many times and say, okay, well, let's try this way. But the whole idea is to keep on keeping on.
That's very good. Is Luz incarnate, or is he not incarnate at this time?
No, he's a celestial guide.
Okay.
L-U-G-H, Luz.
The being of light for the Celts.
Yes.
Yes, they have different names in different cultures. Like, for
right.
instance, Hercules in the Celtic culture, he was known as Ogmius, who gave them the Ogham tree language. And he was also known as Ogham's father, the Dagda, which means the good god, and whose symbols are, of course, the club that always flowers when we plant it, and the cauldron. I'm familiar with the Celtic pantheon. My wife is a Celt, and I've spiritually explored their spirituality for many years.
I can tell you a very funny story. I don't know if it
sure.
would be. But my mother's parents came from Ireland, and she was Irish Catholic, and my dad had to convert to or she wouldn't marry him. But the funny story was that he traced his family tree back to the Mayflower, but she traced hers back to one of the first Irish kings in the 13th century, and she would hold that over him. I mean, they talk about it often, and all of us, there were five of us. I was the oldest of five, and we'd sit and listen. Well, my poor dad just he never got the end of it, but and I guess I was in seventh grade, 12 years old, and we had been studying ancient history. And the next time my mom came out with that, I looked at her and I said, "Mom, they ate people." And that was the last that any of us heard about the Irish king that she came from in the 13th century.
Yeah, antiquity is full of things that we should not emulate in the
right.
Modern.
That was funny.
Well, thank you for sharing that. But that clears up a misconception a lot of people have. Like, because I represent the Olympian current, or as the Unarians call it, the Grecian current, it does not mean that I'm trying to bring back something that was. It's rather to learn from what happened and to apply the best of it and to learn new things rather than repeating the mistakes from antiquity, representing the current means, not bringing something back that passed. Its day was done,
right.
And we learned from it. Let's grow from what we learned, and let's take it to the next step. Let's make it even better.
Right. That's exactly right on. I totally agree with that. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
So we're approaching the last 10 minutes or so of today's conversation, but there will be conversations in the future. And the creative forces that you are attuned to and that you are embodying and expressing include Orion, which in the Neo-Theosophies is an Elohim of love. Am I understanding that correctly?
There are many Orions that I've become aware of since I received those affirmations about 2 years ago, and I think I've talked to you about them in the past. Mentioned them, but the Orion that I'm familiar with, who along with Saint Germain and Lord Maitreya sent this message. The three of them were working together with the cosmic flame of cosmic love, of cosmic fire and cosmic authority, which is actually exactly the same universal substance that the masters of the Far East talk about in Baird Spalding's books, if you're familiar with that.
Yes.
But this Orion, okay, this Orion was one of the original life carriers that they talk about in the Urantia movement, in the Urantia book, who placed life originally on our planet. And he was one of two who stayed on our planet. The other one, I believe, was the one who the planet was named after, Urantia. But Orion is the one I'm speaking of here, who stayed after we developed will. And it's an interesting story. And he's still here. Both of them are still here with us as guides.
That what you said is very true, especially about the names being titles almost in some sense. Sometimes they denote a particular individual. Sometimes they denote a function or an office. So it is with Michael and Diane, we've had many conversations both on and off the air about that, a lot of people who don't look beyond the surface of what is being said often get confused at the multitude of names that are repeating themselves and their relationships
right.
with each other.
And you know, that's a beautiful, I'm glad you touched on that, because that's what I love about Michael and Diane, and about you as well, as I'm learning as we go along, is that every story that you hear has some level of truth to
it. It does.
There's just so much out there. It's not a question of this is more right than that, or this is wrong, because it's not aligned with that. It can seem to be the direct opposite, but it's still a story, and there's still wisdom there to be learned. Go ahead.
Also, years ago, when I used to work more in the human services, I used to be the director of several welfare to work programs. The government, what they did was they would come up with an idea, but they didn't know if the idea would work. So they'd modify it and throw it out there in several different forms. And I know, because I led several of these initiatives, and they were slightly different in some ways. And all of them sought to answer a question or do a particular thing, but they were structured differently. The titles were the same, even though different people were in the title, but sometimes the same person, like I was a director for two programs simultaneously once. So that's a way of understanding these initiatives from the Celestials, that some of the titles are titles, some are names, some are offices, some are lineages, some are and each of them, as you pointed out, has something to teach you if you're willing to let yourself learn from it and not just say this is bull because it contradicts what this person said or what that person said. Usually the relationships are very telling for a particular initiative and why things were structured the way they were structured.
In my worldview, Hercules, that is great wisdom, because there is wisdom in all things.
Very true, if you allow yourself to learn.
Yes.
So you've started this process of setting up these learning centers. And I guess in our first show where we like focus on that and watch it flower, we'll hear again the things that you've shared.
Basically what all the information about how the schools are to be run comes from the Celestials.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting. And there's a lot of information, because there's a certain way that mostly the Melchizedek core of teachers, that they look at the world, and it's based on their experience of billions of years with all the civilizations that are way beyond where we are. And they're all pretty much the same. They operate in what's called light and life, seven stages. Go ahead.
Yes, they do. No, I'm just agreeing with what you said.
Yeah. And you know, I'll be anxious if we ever do get a chance to bit by bit, just let people know what's available in those schools and what the teaching philosophy is. Basically, there's a school with a dear friend who has 20 children. This is the perfect time for schools to start, because parents are taking charge of their children's education more and more. And this school is one like that, with grades from kindergarten through fourth grade for those 12 children, for those 20 children. And they're based on Montessori, Waldorf, and homeschool or indigenous ways of teaching. So it's about producing experientially oriented critical thinkers from the beginning.
I was going to ask you about what relation had to the Montessori schools or to the Steiner schools.
All of them, yeah, absolutely. They're solid foundations. Several of my children attended Montessori. Two of them attended Waldorf. I'm happy with their education gleaned from those schools.
So this is great. And again, in future shows, I'd like to do a show on the Orions first, because we're introducing the celestial hierarchy and the Elohim in the very near future. Then I'd like to follow you on your life task. This way we could show the flowering of your life work.
Thank you. But it sounds like it's our life work.
And I like that.
I like that.
How can
because
people
we're thinking
contact
a lot
you?
Along the yes, same lines.
That is a very powerful and empowering. How can people contact you, and how can they tap into your life work?
Gerald T. is in Thomas. Farley, F-A-R-L-E-Y, at hotmail.com.
And do you have a website or?
No, that's just email. But I can, you know, if it ever gets to the Q&A part, I email out affirmations every day and information on the schools to people who are interested right now. Right now, I'm sending information on the schools to who I hope will be the future governor of the state of Oregon and his wife. They're very happy with it. They're spiritually oriented people.
If you can kindly put me on your list, I'd like to receive those emails. And this way, we can focus the episodes to address more areas.
Do you want me, I can start out with the affirmations,
one
a day.
Awesome. That'd be fantastic. You have my email,
okay.
So great.
I've
and
got it.
What I can do is I can periodically post some of the affirmations and share them on Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
No, I don't go there, and I'm okay with everyone who does.
Okay.
But I don't.
Understood. A lot of people don't go on Facebook. And again, I contemplated that after my account was hacked for a while. But it's a communication tool that reaches people who are older. So it's useful for the communications work that I do. Gerald,
right.
Thank you so very much. You've opened my eyes. And you've given
and
me
you as well.
Contemplate.
Thank you. Killing.
And I wish you well, and I wish you success in your life work, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks. Me too. Bye now.
And thanks. Bye-bye. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you called in and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be exploring the show later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures. And in the less than a minute that we have left, I will play Mighty Elohim by Lynell Griffin.